just want to let you know. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to John chapter 13 as we continue our journey through the Gospel of John. John chapter 13, and we will be beginning here soon in verse 31. At this point in the Gospel of John, Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. It is the night before he was to go to the cross and to die. While he was in the upper room, as a kind of a summary of past weeks, Jesus had the Passover meal with his disciples at this point. He's had the meal with them, and during that Passover meal, if you remember from the beginning of John chapter 13, Jesus does the most incredible thing. He gets down during supper. He takes off his outer garments, and he gets down and begins to wash the disciples' feet, and he washes all 12 of them, even including Judas. And then he gets up and just gives this incredible teaching about servant leadership amongst his disciples. But then after that, Jesus becomes troubled and grieved. And then he pours out to his disciples that one of them will betray him. And they're all looking at each other, wondering who it was. And if you remember in past weeks, Jesus took a piece of bread, he dipped it, and he gave it to Judas Iscariot. And when Judas took the bread, it said that the devil entered into him. And he quickly rose up and went out into the night to go to betray Jesus. To betray Jesus. So now we are in the upper room with 11 disciples, 11 apostles. And now Jesus, it seems at this point in the upper room, Judas is gone, the betrayer's gone, and he's there, and he seems much more personal with the remaining 11. He begins to pour out into him his very last words. He's been telling them he's going to die, but for some reason they don't get it. And so he seems to then at this point just kind of say, okay, you guys, here it is, my last words for you. Because it was during that time, after Judas left, what did Jesus do? He took the bread. This is my body, which I give to you. And he takes the wine. This is my blood of the new covenant. You see a depth of intimacy amongst this group. They have no idea what's ahead. Jesus does, and he begins to prepare them for what's going to happen. So he institutes the Lord's Supper. And he gives them his last words and testament. Have you ever been with someone that you loved who passed away? And you're able to be there before they passed away, before the surprise of their death? Or have you remembered some of the words of the week of? All of a sudden the words, oh, I remember when they told me this. And he told me that just before he died. We don't remember, we don't forget such words. These are the last words and testament of Jesus. And there's things I believe in all of the Gospels. These next four chapters have the most intimate, most deep words of all of Jesus. Because it's his last night with them, and he pours into them the subject. He talks about the Holy Spirit. He talks about abiding in Christ. He talks about obedience, persecution, and it's with these 11 that he pours out his very heart into them. Will we listen to the last words of a dying man, Jesus Christ? These are the words of a dying man, of a man getting ready to die. The cross is before him, and he's with the ones he loves, with his disciples. Have your Bibles, John chapter 13. Let us begin reading from verse 31. John 13, verses 31 through 35. And it says here, when he, which is Jesus, had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I've said to the Jews, so now I will also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So we see in this passage, as Judas at this point has left, Jesus begins to teach and talk to his disciples. What was the first thing that he leaves with them? First, he says, he talks about that his Father and that himself, that he will be glorified with his death. He knows that he's going to the cross, that he will be lifted up, he will be glorified, he will bring glory to himself, he'll bring glory to his Father. But what else does he bring to his disciples? He brings a command of a man about to die. A command to what? Love. To love one another. And by loving, what will people know? You are my disciples. By love, people will know, oh, he is a follower of Jesus. By our love. By our love. What does it mean to love one another? See, love in our culture is a very fluid concept, right? For example, my wife and I love Mexican food. We can eat Mexican food probably 2 or 3 times a week. My wife makes guacamole all the time. We love Mexican food. We love to eat. We love Mexican food. Or I've discovered Kentuckians love basketball. Right? Or we may hear a spouse say, I fell in love with my wife. I fell in love with my husband. But then we also hear, well, I fell out of love. Or, well, I still love them, but I'm no longer in love. So as we can see, love is a fluid concept. We look at love for food, for people, and then we talk about loving God. What is Jesus saying here when he talks about loving one another? What kind of love? What does it look like? And you know what? We have the answer in the very passage we read this morning in verse 34. Listen to this. Jesus said that you love one another just as I have loved you. What love are we talking about? What does it look like? As we have this fluid concept of love in our culture, what is Jesus saying? He says, look at me if you want to know what love is. Look at me. Love as I have loved. So you are also to love one another. How did Jesus love his disciples? Let's answer that question. How did he love them? First, he chose them. He told them, I chose you. So first he chose them to be part of a disciple, a follower of Jesus. He chose them. Second, he traveled with them. For about 3 and a half years, he traveled with them. He taught them. He prayed with them. He spent time laughing with them. He ate with them. He was persecuted with them as the religious leaders came against him. So how did he display love? He spent time with them. How do you love your spouse, your children, a friend? You spend time with them. Jesus spent time with his disciples. And as Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. It goes even deeper, doesn't it? It's for us to model what Jesus modeled. But what was the most ultimate expression of his love? What was the expression of his love? The ultimate expression. It was his blood. His blood was the ultimate expression of his love for us, the fullest revelation of his love. his shed blood. If we look at the very walk to the cross, it is covered in blood. Everywhere you see along that walk to the cross is covered in blood. Even if you go to the very Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus is praying in the garden, and he's wrestling with the turmoil of knowing he's going to the cross. In Luke chapter 22, verse 47, listen to this. And being in agony, Jesus prayed more earnestly, and it says the sweat became like great drops of blood. His blood. Then we go to Matthew 27, where the soldiers put that crown of thorns on his head, and they take that reed, and they hail him, and they mock him, and they pretend to worship him, and they take that reed and hit him over the head to have the crown of thorns. Again, we see blood coming down his face. And then we see when Jesus in Matthew 27, 26 was scourged with a cat of nine tails. As he was scourged, and this was not just a small amount of blood, it was blood everywhere, because many people died from the very scourging itself. And then we see Jesus at the cross, the nails through his hands and feet. We see blood. We see blood. Why all this pain? Why all this blood? He laid down his life for you, for me, for his disciples. He loved us. He wanted to save us from the humiliation of sin. He wanted to save us from the rejection of God the Father. He wanted to set us free from the bondage of sin and death. So we see how he loved his disciples. We see how he loved you and I. Again, the words of Jesus. We are to love one another as he loved us. Are we shedding our blood for each other? Nothing like Jesus did. But if we really say what he said, love like I loved you. Are we really getting blood on each other in a sense? Are we going to that place of sacrificial loving and giving to one another? Because of his blood, not only were we cleansed from sin, we have access to God. We were born again by his blood. Do you know we are related by blood? We always have people talking, oh yeah, they're my blood relative. They're my this. We are related by blood. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, we are related by blood through what he did. We're family through blood. We are united by blood. We are to love through blood. Through blood. So how do we love one another as Jesus loved? I want you to look, take a moment here. Look to the person on your right and left. Take a look at the crowd. It's getting a little embarrassing, but look to the person on your right and left, in front of you, in back of you. Okay. Are you loving that person next to you as Jesus loved you? Let's be honest about it. Or have you, as Jesus ate with his disciples, have you eaten a meal with someone that's not in your row? And just sat down with a meal to eat. As Jesus prayed with his disciples, have you prayed with someone that's not sitting right next to you? As Jesus laid down his life for the disciples and for us, have you actively, consciously, purposefully, intentionally laid down your life for the other people in this room that you really don't know very well? Have you loved as Jesus loved? Let's not pretend. The time we spend
Let's be honest. We say we love. Are we loving?
When people come here into this church and visit,
are they loved?
Hi, how you doing? Nice to meet you. My name's Tom. Nice to meet you.
You know what? If people that came to this home, if people would flood them with love, would invite them out for a meal after church, our church would grow. But people come in, we're kind. Are we loving? Are we Sunday lovers?
We love on Sunday. But the rest of the week, I'm my life. I have my blood family. Hey, no, we are related by blood. It's a command of the eternal God to love one another. Are we doing that? And it takes a choice in our culture. We're so busy. When we first moved here, my wife and I would drive through some of the neighborhoods, and we'd see some of those older people out there on their chairs, and they're all, I didn't really see many young people do that. I didn't see some of the younger families. They did that their whole life, where we're stuck inside watching our movies and shows, or we have soccer, we have sports, we have activities at school, and these guys are still there waiting on the ground, looking around. That's what the church is today. It's becoming a place. Fast food Christianity in the church. Sunday mornings in the church. Ooh, man, I'm good. I'll get filled up for the week and go on. And what happens is we isolate ourselves as families and individuals. We're not loving one another. We're not going through things together as we should, because we are related by blood. Love should be the one thing that separates us from all other religions. Love should be the thing that separates us from all other people. People should know that when they see you, they go, oh, I know they're a believer in Jesus Christ. There is no question in my mind. If we loved as Jesus loved, every seat would be filled in here. Am I loving like Jesus loved? No. Am I reaching for it? Yes. That's the challenge today. But then we have a question. How can we apply this to my life? How can I begin to love people as Jesus loved? How do I get away from this Sunday morning Christianity when Christ, discipleship, should be our life all week, not only on Sundays? If it was my choice, Sunday would be a celebration and have groups share about what God's doing in their life the rest of the week, not just here. Just not here. How can we begin to love? As some of you know, one way to get to know the body of Christ, Jesus spent time with people, right? One way to spend time with each other is come earlier on Sundays. Come to the grace classes we have. We have for children up here. We have for the youth up there. We have for the adults here. We have a way. Come and have coffee, eat good food, fellowship. That's one way of starting to love one another. But there's another thing here. We are starting 3 grace groups this week. I used to call them small groups, but I was kind of thinking about this week. I thought grace groups, that's more an extension of us. We're Grace Church. Our grace groups are people walking the grace of God in life together. Our grace groups. We have 3 grace groups this week, beginning.